Blog Talk Radio.
I am John in Brooklyn. You're listening to Lock to the Week Radio, the only show that will let me on the air.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Lock to the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
And it comes time, we know how Lincoln dies, you know, a tough spot with a bullet.
And as I speak to you, they're showing a Mongo USA fan at the World Baseball Classic, chanting USA.
Actually, this whole day was a lot.
Ooh.
First thing you've got to mention here is the additions of Syracuse and Pitts, which is like adding two turds to a lawn.
No one puts the WGCs in the Players' Championship anywhere on the same level as a major prank, so chill out with that.
I actually never knew what meme was, and I always thought it was just MA. And
I wonder what it is like living out there on Saturn.
She was gorgeous, man. This girl was really good looking. And I'm like, holy, is that so-and-so? And I'm seeing him doing a... body shot off her, and he's hammered. He turns around, he's like, I love this place.
You know, round apple with the Orioles lettering on it.
They should put the Orioles one in the river.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Doc Rivers now gets to time and time again not get it in Los Angeles. Good evening, sports fans! And a pleasure to have you here for this NBA tip-off Tuesday show live from Santa Monica through the courtesy of blogtalkradio.com and to your ears over the internet. Good to have you with us. A very, very loaded show tonight, starting with our friend Jerry and Piscataway in just a few minutes. We'll probably get him on about 20 after the hour. And then at 10:50, 7:50 Pacific, we have Tyler back, ready to take another beating on Tyler's investments of the week. Last week, he went 1-3 yet again, his season total 2-6, but good news for him, we are going to reset his season total. And the reason for that is because we have a challenger to the investments this week, and that will be our friend John in Connecticut's counter investments of the week. So we'll have his picks too, following Tyler's picks, and then we'll compare and contrast them both. For the weekend in football, it's a big week. This is the biggest week that you can imagine in sports because you've got the NBA starting and baseball finishing at the same time. World Series Game 6 starts tomorrow. NBA Game 1 starts tonight. Two teams already at it, among others, the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat, and it is a rout. The Heat exerting their absolute dominance so far in the early going. I haven't seen much of the game, but I do see the score. And right now the Heat are up by a colossal lead with LeBron James and company ready to take the court tonight. 78-58 after three quarters against the Chicago Bulls, who do have Derrick Rose back on the court. The Bulls are going to be a good team this year, but with the Heat being fired up for their NBA championship banner ceremony, it was inevitable that they would be the exactors of dominance tonight. I mean, they look really good defensively as usual, very athletic as usual, deep as usual, but everybody's 1 year older. So I don't know how far they'll get. I think they can get to the finals, but I don't necessarily think they're going to win. I mean, they can, obviously. But four finals in a row, that is hard, especially in today's NBA. It's very competitive out there. A lot of teams out there that we can talk about. I think we'll get into some of that with our friend Jerry and Piscataway in a few minutes. But that's just the story in the East. The story out West, I think, is the Thunder, the Spurs, and the Clippers. The Thunder are going to have a few obstacles to overcome as the season begins. Principally, Russell Westbrook trying to fix himself after he tore, I believe it was his ACL, in the playoffs last year, and that was just the first round. He tore his ACL, and he was out for the rest of the playoffs and for most of the offseason. So it's going to be some time yet before he comes back. I read about it. It looks like he's going to be 4 to 6 weeks out of the picture before he can start playing. And it's a long NBA season, so that won't be a problem. But right now, they'll have to tread water so that they can make a big run in the second half of the year. But that's the story. I mean, it's a veteran team. Definitely not necessarily the same guys that they had before, but the principles, but the important guys are still there. Durant is still in effect. Westbrook, once he gets healthy, will very much be in effect. Sabo Cephalosha will still be in effect. And Serge Ibaka, who's really improved year to year, I mean, taking command at center, he's going to be good. He is good. And he's a very, very athletic player. He's got a lot going for him. Good with rebounds. He can score. He's just an all-around good guy to have in the middle of the paint. So that's a good team. And then obviously Kevin Durant, the man himself, a bona fide superstar by my standards. And he is just really always challenging for the NBA scoring crown. If he hasn't had it already, he's going to, because he is good. He is really good. And now that with Kobe Bryant being sidelined for a good portion of the season, we don't know exactly how long, but he's going to miss some significant time to start the year. Maybe a week or two, maybe a month or two, it's just hard to say. Obviously, he won't start tonight. That would be outrageous. But he's doing his best to get back on the court. But you know he's old. I mean, he's tried that German technique over the offseason again. We don't know what he's going to do for the Lakers. But the point of all that was just to say that because of all these injury problems that Kobe has and his simple age, he's just not going to be a factor for the scoring crown anymore. So Kevin Durant's got it that much easier to get it if he wants to go that way. The Thunder are going to be a big team in the NBA's Western Conference. The Spurs will continue to be very good. We keep writing them off. This year I decided I'm not going to do it. I'm going to actually put myself into this conversation. I'm going to put my confidence into this conversation and let the Spurs take the division in the Southwest Division or Midwest Division. I forget what it's actually called. But, you know, the basically the division where all the, you know, the three Texas teams play and all that. That's what I'm talking about. The Spurs will have command of that division. The only other one team that could even come close to them really would be Memphis, I think, and Houston, who just acquired Dwight Howard in the offseason for some ginormous contract. That's fine. Have fun with that, because he's going to be hurt some of the time. He's going to be a crybaby the other half of the time. And the rest of the time, he'll get your stats. But when it comes to winning games, you know, it's a team effort. And they've got a couple of good guys, but it's just a lot of unproven material. I think they can do all right, but I think a veteran team like the Grizzlies will be better than them in the NBA standings. So I feel like those are the three teams in that division. They're not giving me the conference. They're not giving me division standings here. There you go. I think they are called the Southwest. Yeah. So it's going to be those guys. It's going to be San Antonio at the top just because of the veteran leadership. The best coach in the NBA, Greg Popovich, and I know he got schooled a couple of times in the finals last year, but that does not change my opinion. He's still very, very good at coaching, and he can get those guys to give him their best effort no matter who's on the court. And it is a good team. I remember Danny Green really lit it up in the NBA finals last year. I don't see any reason for that to fall off. I mean, he's a shooter. I mean, unless he gets hurt, how is the shooter going to end up falling off one year to the next, especially if he's feeling it? He could have been, he just got hot for a week. But the Spurs do not have usually players that are only good for about a week or two. Usually, consistency is the model for the San Antonio Spurs. They're going to be fine. And again, Memphis, we mentioned. Again, they didn't really do anything this offseason. It's like the Giants in the football. They didn't do anything. But the difference is, at least here, you know what you're getting. And it's not as if it's really going to fall off. And it's not as if Memphis is necessarily lollygagging the season in it by any means whatsoever. But right now, this team looks like a pretty good team. And they've got a lot of forward depth, just a good front court period. Marcus Gasol and Zach Randolph, who they call Zebo. I mean, one year to the next, I think these guys are still going to be pretty good. Mike Conley in the backcourt being their bona fide point guard. But once again, that is not a team that does a great job with passing the ball around. And so Conley does a good job scoring, but again, ball distribution will continue to be a challenge for the Grizzlies. However, they do a pretty good job defensively, and for that reason alone, I think they're going to be very competitive. And so that's a good division. Next, for the other third of the conference, Oklahoma City, we mentioned, probably the team to beat if they get everybody healthy. Challenging them in this division is a pretty good. You've actually got some pretty good teams on the forefront. Denver has been looking pretty good every year, and Ty Lawson's really emerged into his own. He looks terrific. I mean, the guy's got amazing foot speed. He can beat you off the dribble, and he's a great leader. I mean, the guy really gives his all on the court. Just a terrific guy to watch play. And you have Danilo Gallinari. You've got we'll break down the rest of this roster, but they do look like a very deep team. Generally speaking, you know, we always know the Nuggets is the reputation for scoring points. That probably isn't going to change a whole lot this year. And they are just an exciting, fun team to watch. Then we believe that we will be seeing from hearing from the likes once again of JaVale McGee. Not a good player, but a scrappy guy, a lot of energy, obviously great off the bench. That guy's just really he is crazy. That's all I'll say. Wilson Chandler, Kenneth Faried, again, very active forwards. That'll be a fun one to check out, too. And who else we have? J.J. Hickson, the guy out of North Carolina State. That's a fun one. I mean, that is a fun one. And Timothy Mozgov, we'll see what he has to offer. And even Nate Robinson, who, again, he's sort of a streaky shooter, so his contribution to the team is going to be one to really – you know, kind of keep an eye on, but he would work well for Denver because they're very quick to the basket, and they do love just chucking shots, so I think that would work well in their system. Minnesota, who knows? But watch for Portland to be a good challenger in the Northwest. And finally, that takes us to the Pacific, where I feel like all the action happens, all the storylines. The Clippers are the team to beat in the division. And I think as the season goes along, they could be the team to beat in the entire West. I don't think they're necessarily going to hang on to that title, but they have such a good roster, and the aforementioned Doc Rivers brings, at last, some competency at the coaching position. It has been probably 20 years since they've had a coach that was good. And the guy I'm thinking of is Larry Brown, way back in the early 90s. 20 years of Jokers as coach. And now Doc Rivers finally to put some sanity into the whole thing. So when I say that Doc Rivers time and time again doesn't get it, I just mean that as a joke, as just sort of a silly thing. I mean, truly, he's got a lot going on. Yeah, his substitution patterns can be really out there. That's what I meant when I was saying he wasn't getting it. That was like 3 years ago. I said that, but. Here we are. I mean, I see he has taken every team he's been on and made them winners. So what's going to happen here when he takes a team that's already winning? Where could they go? He took a pile of rubble with the Magic and made them a playoff team. This is a long time ago, like 14 years ago. He took the Celtics, who were just grasping for straws. They threw in like Gary Payton because they were desperate to get something. And he still took him to the playoffs. And then he took that same franchise into the finals, won one, almost won another one, lost it out in 7 games, and now he's here with the Clippers. I mean, everything he's touched has turned to gold. You got to give Rivers some credit here, and after a while, I've learned to appreciate what he brings to the table. He's a much better coach than I imagined going over through the years, but you look at the long-term results, the guy's great. I mean, he is really good. So this team with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul, obviously to us, the player leader of the team by far, he had bailed out the Clippers out of some really awful situations. He has led them single-handedly to wins despite the terrible coaching and decision-making. He is the leader of the team. If he stays healthy, the Clippers' sky could be the limit for this team. And I don't think anything could really stop them unless they do something ridiculous, and that's where you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Clippers. So, yeah, there's reason not to trust them. But on paper, this team looks amazing. And I think they have Jamal Crawford. And I think they just picked up J.J. Redick, great shooter. I mean, really, where does it end with the Clippers? They've got depth. They've got front court. They've got back court. They've got speed. They've got size. I mean, really, you look at it, the only thing they don't have is maybe fundamentals. they're not really great at post-up, in an inside game. Perhaps they're bad at giving up big leads. Generally speaking, their defense has been pretty good. I mean, throughout the year last year, they've been decent defensively. That's a little bit of a misnomer about the Clippers that I even had, but they're okay. The point is, this Western Conference is going to be really exciting this year. You also have Golden State, who had a really exciting run, although they still got some things to work out. We're going to see whether the Warriors, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson, and Barnes, Ty Barnes, I think, will hold up and be a good team this year, or whether that was just a one-year wonder. Time will tell. But right now, it looks like it's going to be a pretty good team. And then finally, you've got Phoenix, who could be interesting. The Lakers, again, there's really not much to look forward to on this team. Pretty weak. We'll see. So that's the West for you. That's the NBA, and it's all underway now. The Clipper game will tip off in about 15 minutes. And while we wait for that, let's bring in our good friend, I believe this is Jerry, in Piscataway. Welcome. What's up, buddy? Good. Welcome back
What's
to the
going
show.
On,
how you doing,
brother?
Not much, sir. Not much. This is Halloween week. It is a very exciting time here in California. We hope it's the same for you in New Jersey. It is the biggest sports week of the year. Did you get a chance to go check out the costumed babes in your local establishment this weekend?
I did. I was in Hoboken on Saturday.
Nice.
And it was a pretty fun night. It was a real wild night. You got the video I sent you, right?
Yes, I did. Were you in that video, the one with the Power Rangers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Me and my boys went as the Power Rangers, and we'd like, it's a cool idea, and we're 90s kids, so it'd be kind of cool going as them. We had no idea the attention that we were going to receive. We took over 30 pictures with people. There were people in cars rolling down their windows yelling at us. It was sick. We own the fucking streets. We had everybody... I need to take a picture. It was unbelievable, man. We went to the bar for like an hour, and then when we were walking to go to the other bar, we never made it in another bar the rest of the night. We were getting stopped left and right. We were running around the streets. We were talking. I'm telling you, we didn't make it to another bar the rest of the night. We must have been out on the street for 2 hours taking pictures, meeting people. It was unbelievable. It was a great night.
That is amazing. You guys were local celebrities that night.
The only bad thing is we had, it was like a bodysuit, Power Ranger bodysuit, so nobody could see what we looked like. So we didn't really get, girls would take pictures with us, but they don't know what we look like, so they were just taking pictures, all right, thank you, and walking away. But we really didn't get to meet a ton of females, you know what I mean? But it was just a great night, man. We had so much fun.
Well, that's a change of pace, though, and I think it's pretty sweet. I mean, that you got to... get that kind of notoriety, and I wouldn't say notoriety, but just simple attention.
It was crazy, man. Now I know how, when you go out, I want your picture. I shit you not, I'm not just saying this. We couldn't walk a block without at least two people trying to take a picture with us. I shit you not. We had everybody. We had the White Ranger, the Green Ranger, the Red Ranger, the Blue Ranger, Black Ranger. We had all of them, and it was just a really, really fun scene. It was cool.
That is truly me. Now, who was the Pink Ranger? Who volunteered for that? Did anyone do that?
I can't believe you just fucking said that. Because, Dave, I swear to God, if I can go back in time, I would have been the Pink Ranger. Every person that we stopped, every female that we talked to asked, where's the Pink Ranger? I'm telling you, every person. Whoever went as a Pink Ranger would have gotten... The most ass out of anybody, and they would have gotten the most attention out of anybody in the whole fucking town. I swear to God. Everybody asked, where's the Pink Ranger? It was, my hands and my head was like a running joke. Like, all right, let's see if this person asked. How to take the picture? Where's the Pink Ranger? I swear, man. We're supposed to go to a Halloween party on Saturday, and we're all drawing straws at who's going to get the Pink Ranger costume.
Oh, that is amazing. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
I is a natural question. Oh, that's good. Yeah. I'm dying here, Caps. That was awesome. That is just an amazing night. Epic job by you guys.
It was a great night, man. A lot of good costumes out there, too. We saw a lot of, I saw a lot of Heisenbergs, out there.
Ooh.
But there was some
nice.
Funny costumes.
Very nice, yeah. Would you say those were your favorite costumes? I was going to ask, what were your favorite costumes on this night?
I like the Heisenberg costumes. I'm a big Breaking Bad fan. I saw a couple Sons of Anarchy costumes. I saw a guy that went as a Jew, had his hair done, and he drew the tattoos in his head. That was a really good costume. Obviously, all the female costumes. You couldn't be, the short skirts, the, barely wearing anything on top. Every girl, was showing off their body. So all the female costumes I like, but I really like the TV and movie-based costumes. They're really cool.
Nice. Nicely done. Yeah. And then you could have, superhero costumes, for females, and that'd be, the best of both worlds, right?
Yes.
So that you have
it
all.
Yeah, we saw some hottie superhero costumes, too.
Beautiful. Nicely done, Mr. Cap. No, this is good. I wasn't sure if this was going to be the weekend for the Halloween stuff or next weekend, because it's kind of tough. It's Halloween is between both, so I didn't know how you play it.
Us,
but
too.
Halloween.
We weren't sure. We knew that we knew a couple of people that were going to go dress up, so we figured at least a couple people, a good amount would be dressed up. The whole town was dressed up. You walk, it was just a big Halloween party. It was really cool. So I don't know what it's going to be like this weekend. I'm actually going to a house party on Saturday, so it's a Halloween party, so I don't have to worry about going out and stuff like that. But yeah, this past weekend, everybody was dressed up.
That's awesome. Now, what are you going to go – what costume will you use for this party? Will it be the same ones or will it be different?
I'm going to do the same ones. Me and my boys are going to go with the Power Rangers.
Nice.
Spending money on another costume, so I'm just going to go with that.
And who are you going to get to be the Pink Ranger this time?
Well, that's the thing. We all want to be the Pink Ranger, so we're kind of debating on who's going to get it. Now, the thing is, if somebody has to be the Pink Ranger, they have to shell out another $50 to get the Pink Ranger costume. So, I know a bunch of us are willing to do that in order to be the Pink Ranger, because I swear to God, they will get the most attention in the whole party. So we're still debating on if we're going to do that and who's going to do that. So we'll see what happens come Saturday.
No, please. Send me a pic if that goes down. I've got to see how this plays out.
I will. I'll send you a video.
That video is amazing. Have you posted
it's
it on
funny.
YouTube yet? You really should. It is so good.
I know. We really. I think we're going to. It is a real funny video. We posted on Instagram. I think I'm going to post it on Facebook and on Halloween. We should post it on YouTube. It's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, that's a beauty. That's a beauty. So it sounds like you've been up to some really good stuff. It is a fun time. These podcasts are always worth it every time you come on. How did everything go tonight? I know that you were up to some good business tonight, and I mean business in this case.
Yeah, actually, it was really interesting. I went to a networking event at this bar in New Brunswick, and it was cool. I got to meet some cool people, some people who were my age, that are actually, doing, have their own businesses and different things like that. So it's nice to meet, some other people who, I'm not an entrepreneur myself, but these people are entrepreneurs. And my business that I started with was from the ground up, and I helped build it up. So although I'm not an entrepreneur, I was there at the beginning, so I understand what these guys are going through. So it was real, interesting to talk to some people, network with some people, and you never know, who you're going to need in the future. So building relationships is definitely key.
No, absolutely right. What do you strive to do with a networking situation like this? What kind of jobs would you be up for?
Well, I do international trading. So anybody who does anything in the marketing or anything in trading, I've talked to anybody who does anything overseas. When I have contacts overseas, I have their business card, because you never know when you'll need them. You'll never know when you're going to be flying to that region. You never know. So anybody with marketing, anybody who did any kind of business overseas, and investors, we're my company has been working on a project for over 2 years. We're at the tail end of it now. Probably the next 6 months we'll be able to start manufacturing and starting to make cash flow. And our plan is to take our company public, within the next 2 or 3 years, which would be huge for me. huge for my company, and it's a huge lucrative project we've been working on. We put, you know, millions of dollars of our own money into it.
Wow.
So any investors that I met tonight, I took their cards, because you never know when you're going to need more capital, or if, you know, an opportunity arises from current opportunity, you know, where you could use capital to gain more income, more revenue. So anybody with kind of any kind of investor ties, I got their cards tonight as well. So,
boy, really good job out of you tonight. Really moving on, moving, trying to get that thing working. I mean, that's pretty exciting. So I look forward to
trying.
Good luck. Good luck. I mean, I don't
want
to get
too. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I don't want to get too personal about it. So just want, you know, trying to be as objective as I can. But it sounds very promising. So very good. In the meanwhile, we've got a few things to converse about, Mr. Captain. The Halloween thing was sick, dude. That was pretty good. Do you
if you want to do a podcast the next week or two, actually we should do a podcast after the weekend of the 7th. I'm going on a trip the weekend of the 7th. I'll tell you guys where eventually, but I'm going to meet a couple girls that I know, and it should be a real, real wild weekend. So I'll, I think we should do a podcast. We'll do that weekend plus this Halloween weekend and kind of wrap everything in one. I'll give you some good stories, hopefully.
Beautiful. I like it. So Halloween week part two coming up this weekend for Mr. Jerry Piscataway and his friends, where they will reprise the Power Ranger group, and we'll see how that rolls out. I love it, buddy. I do. And, you know, I mentioned at the top of the show, this is a pretty big week in sports. NBA starting, baseball ending, and when it ends could be anyone's guess, but I think the two of us kind of came to the consensus that it would end tomorrow. But, you know, it's not decisive, but it's just got that feel of that whole ribbon, storybook ending, Fenway Park, that whole business. I mean, it just seems like everything's lining up except for one thing. Waka is pitching, and he's been pitching really well this whole postseason. So, you know, maybe the odds are...
It doesn't matter. Waka can throw 12 innings of shutout ball. The Cardinals won't score one fucking run. It is over. It is over. It's been over. Ever since those motherfucking Tigers lost game two, it's been over. Over.
Wow.
The Tigers win game two, I think it's a totally different ALCS. And I think, I mean, it's stupid of me to say it now, but I always thought the Tigers did have a better team than the Red Sox. I thought they had a better rotation with Scherzer and Verlander and Fister. I thought they had a better lineup with, obviously, Cabrera and Fielder. And maybe it's just the bet. You know, if the Tigers win that game too, I think that they've won the win that series. But ever since that Poppy Grand Slam, it has been, in my mind, it has been over. It has been over.
I mean, that was a very devastating blow. I mean, they were up 5-1, I think, with an inning to go.
5-1.
Oh.
And Jim Leland, again, twice he did in that series, pulling and started out too early. They didn't really have much of a bullpen, Detroit. So I think he should have, it's ALCS, you got to ride your starters as much as you can. I don't think he did a great job that series. And, you know, game two, as soon as Poppy hit the home run, before the game was even over, I said to my dad, I said, it's over. I said, this series is over. And,
wow.
You know, as soon as they start playing the Cardinals, I'm not big on the Cardinals, and I look at their lineup and I see, you know, guys like Pete Cosma and Daniel Carpenter in the lineup and John Jay in the lineup, who sucks. And I'm like, they're no match for the Red Sox. You know, they won, you know, two close games, but the Red Sox overall are a better team, and it's over, Dave. I mean, as much as it pains me to say, it is over. The Red Sox are going to win the World Series tomorrow night. It is over. Over, over. Ever since that ball left Bobby's bat in game two, I declare the Red Sox World Series champions.
Well, let me offer you a counterpoint to that. I don't think the Red Sox lineup is really that spectacular either. I mean, they've got some nice guys, but really the only bat that can really hurt you day-to-day would be Big Poppy, and he's just been playing at an unbelievable level this series. That's the only thing. The Red Sox...
I agree with that.
...offense, is, I mean, it's good, but nobody really has the... You can change... Nobody has the power to change the game on one swing other than him on a consistent basis. We've seen other guys do it. Yeah, I mean, we had Napoli hit one out. We had Johnny Gomes hit one out in this series. But, you know, those are guys who are like, well, that's nice. I mean, that's great that they did it, but, again, you don't expect it. That's key.
No, I don't think Gomes is that good of a player, but I think in AL Park, I think I heard Fowler say Victorino was going to play. I don't know how effective he's going to be, but he had a good year. But you have, you know, Ellsbury, Pedroia, and then you could add Napoli and Poppy back in the lineup together. I think that they have, you know, more firepower than the Cardinals do. But like you said, it's not the greatest lineup, but, you know, they grind out at bats. You know, they have Ryan Daniel Nava with over 300. You know, they got the top of the order. The top of the order is pretty good. They have a pretty solid lineup, I think, better than the Cardinals.
Well, we're down to two games in this series. And for the Red Sox, this will be their opportunity to win for the first at home, clinch a World Series for the first time since 1918. To me, I feel like this is a little bit overblown because I think a whole lot of teams have been waiting a long time for that. I mean, to give you an example, my team, the Dodgers, haven't clinched a World Series at home since 1963. So
right.
I don't know I think people may have played that one up a little bit too much.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, Dave, I'm going to try not to. I'm going to try to avoid the game like the plague tomorrow. I mean, it makes me sick. I mean, I can't do it. I can't watch them and their beards, and I just can't do it. I mean, I don't even like to talk about it. It just makes me sick. And I mean, I don't mean to offend anyone on the board. The board has actually some pretty cool Red Sox fans, but I just can't do it. I can't do it.
Well, what happens if it, what would happen if it did go to Game 7? Would you watch that?
I would watch the Game 7, yes.
Okay.
I would definitely watch a Game 7. I think the Red Sox would win in Game 7, but 100% I would watch a Game 7 because you don't get that very often in any sport. So anytime there's a Game 7, I would definitely watch that.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a slaughtering. You got people spending $24,000 on tickets. You know, the Red Sox are going to win. There's no way those people are going to spend $30,000 on tickets and watch a Red Sox ball. The Red Sox are going to win tomorrow. I would put my bank account on it. They're going to win tomorrow.
But wait, you don't have to bet a bank account. Well, you want a double or nothing? You want a double or nothing? This burrito that they win tomorrow? Because you only won.
Dude, we can do that. I mean, dude, I feel bad. You tell me when you want it. I will order it from my phone for you.
Absolutely, Captain. I intend to. It's just I haven't been hungry enough to go for it yet.
I'm a man of my word. So whenever you need it, you shoot me a text, you write it on the board, and I will order you your burrito.
I love it. So thank you for that. No, we could do something like that. I mean, maybe not a hot burrito. We could do something else. If you feel that confident, we can take this opportunity.
I feel very confident. I will do a burrito. We can double or nothing down. I will buy you two burritos if I lose, and then you can just give me one. I'm telling you. The Red Sox are going to win tomorrow without a shadow of a doubt.
That sounds like a plan. So if it doesn't go down, I will get you a burrito, and I guess you could still give me the burrito.
And I will get you two.
If the Cardinals win,
I will get
right?
you two burritos. Gladly. I will gladly get you two burritos.
Two burritos. Man, I don't even know what I'm going to do with all that meat. That's going to be good. This has been a fun baseball season, though. And I think this is, you know, it's been a kind of a sloppy World Series, but it has been a good World Series overall.
It has been a good World Series. I agree.
A lot of twists and turns. Pretty exciting baseball. You know, most of the games have been pretty close, too. That's the other half of it. And so, generally, I mean, you do get a lot of blowout World Series. Last year's World Series, it was a sweep. So, having a series like this actually is pretty refreshing because it means
aside from game one, this is a very, very good pitching this World Series, which has been, which has been good to see.
That's true. Pitching has been pretty solid. Bullpens have been, for the most part, pretty good. Middle relief doesn't look too hot for the Cardinals, but their end of their bullpen is pretty sick, actually. I mean, Rosenthal.
The kid Martinez, I think Thornton's are closer. Those guys throw fucking gas, man.
They do. Pinpoint gas accuracy. It is
know it.
Yeah, no doubt. So with all that in just about ready to wind down, that will be it for baseball season. So we have – that gives us about – what, like 15 minutes to talk NBA? Now, Caps, I know you get into the NBA too. Very excited to hear that. And I just want to hear about who your hopefuls are for the season. Because obviously it's not that difficult to make predictions about who wins the division and all that.
No,
doesn't change that much. But I'm interested to know which teams you like. Like, who do you think could make some serious noise?
I mean, honestly, in the East, there's not many teams that are going to make, I don't think, can make serious. I think it'd be some improved teams in the East, but I don't think anybody's going to beat Miami, obviously. I mean, I think they're going to, you know, end up finding themselves in the finals, conference finals, what have you. But I think it's going to be pretty much, you know, the same. I think that the Pacers will be a good team. I think even on the Bulls and C-Mac right now, I think it's all said and done. They're a gritty team. They have a good coach. If Derrick Rose will get back to the mix, I think they'll be up there as a top five team. The Nets. Now, people might get deceived by the Nets. The Nets might not have the greatest regular season. The Nets are going to hold out some of their older players some games. They're going to play in some diminished minutes. And I kind of blame, you know, his injury history, the past couple years hasn't been great. So maybe, you know, he's another one that might see some diminished minutes, or if he does tweak something, they just get a game or two out. So the Nets might not have the greatest regular season. They might not, you know, be as dominant or as good as people think they are, but they're one of the teams who would be like, you know, the Spurs used to be, who, you know, Pop would bench a bunch of guys and get ready for the playoffs. And I think that the Nets in the playoffs are going to be a totally different team than the Nets in the regular season. So I think if the Nets don't have the type of regular season that people expect them to have, don't write them off. Don't say, they're too old, because they'll turn it up in the playoffs. And I truly think that you're going to see some of their older guys get some diminished minutes. You've already heard Kid talk about it. And I think that them in the playoffs are going to be a totally different team than them in the regular season.
That's a very interesting observation, because I think it's very different from what a lot of people say about the Nets. I just feel like, I mean, my personal take on it, I feel like the Nets are just an old team. I mean, they got old. They got really old. And they,
right.
And I don't know what they can even bring to the table in the playoffs. But, you know, you never count out the heart of a champion. And that would be the argument I think you're making.
I think they are older. Dave, I think they are older. But you know, they have gamers. You know, Garnett, you know, Pierce, those are guys that are gamers. You saw even, I think Joe Johnson, he was injured last year against the Bulls, had a, you know, pretty big game when they lost, ended up losing to the Bulls in overtime that game. And the guy who I want to see step up in the playoffs is Deron Williams. He looked like he didn't even want the ball last year. He was giving up open shots. He just wasn't, you know, trying to take over games. And he's a guy that needs to, you know, play like the franchise player. And I do agree with you. I do think that it's got old, but I think, you know, they have that playoff experience. I think that they're deep. You know, I think that they're a pretty deep team. You know, their starting lineup is, you know, pretty damn good. You know, you got Lopez, you got Garnett, you got Johnson, you got Pierce, you got Deron Williams. I think they have a really solid, you know, a solid team. They did get older. Their window is very small, a year, maybe 2 years. So, you know, they're going to make sure that they are healthy and ready come the postseason. And I think some of their veterans will be able to provide them some good leadership. I mean, you see the way where the Celtics were last year. I mean, they had a bunch of injuries late in that Knicks series, but they fought back and ended up losing in six. But, you know, I think that the Nets would be a pretty solid playoff team this year when it comes around to it.
Well, that's going to be a team that a lot of people are going to have an eye on for sure, for the coaching, for the old players that they got from the Celtics. I mean, you just broke it all down. That's definitely going to be a team that gets followed, if nothing else.
Right.
So.
And some teams in the East that I think are going to be really improved, the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, if healthy, which is a huge if, because even Kyrie Irving has had his share of injuries. They have a pretty young, talented team. I mean, if Andrew Bynum was healthy, he was one of the top three centers in the NBA. You couple that with a guy like Varejao, who's a gamer, who's a scrapper. You couple that with a guy in Kyrie Irving, who, in my opinion, is going to be one of the best players in the NBA in a couple of years. I mean, Kyrie Irving is, what, 22 years old? I mean, they have a pretty solid team. And I think that, you know, when it comes down to it, if they can stay healthy, they'll be improved this year. I think that the Wizards, believe it or not, are going to be, you know, are going to be improved. I'm not going to say good, but are going to be improved. I like the rookie they got, Otto Porter. I think he could be a dark horse for a rookie of the year candidate. I know a lot of people are picking Oladipo. I like Trey Burke, but he's already injured. But I think that kid Otto Porter could be a rookie of the year candidate. And I think the Wizards, you know, with John Wall, him, and you know, some other guys they have, they could be, you know, an improved team as well in the East.
Now, what about the Knicks? Where do they factor in all this? I mean, is this going to be another season where they end up finishing, I don't know, lower half of the conference? It didn't seem like they did a lot in the off season, based on what I know. Maybe I missed something, but what is your take about what the Knickerbockers can bring to the table?
It's funny, because the Knicks remind me of just where Carmelo Anthony came from, and from Denver. That's who the Knicks remind me of. They are a good team. They are, you know, a middle-of-the-pack team in the East. I believe Denver, you know, had some finishes in the West, and a very good West, where they're middle-of-the-pack, five or six. I think the Knicks will finish top five, but they're a talented team. You know, they have guys like Melo. Raymond Felton's a decent point guard. They have Jared Smith, who could score. I think they have some talent on the team, but I don't think they have what it takes to win a championship. I don't think they play enough defense. I don't think that they have some of the guys around them that could win a championship. They really do remind me of where Melo came from in Denver. Denver had some talented guys on that team. They had Jared Smith on that team. They had, at the time, I forget who the point guard was. Was it Ty Lawson maybe with Melo? I forget. But I just remember they had some talented guys on that Denver team, and they just, you know, they were just a talented team that couldn't get over the hump. And that's what the Knicks are reminding me of. I think that they are a good team. I mean, I was very surprised at how Roy Hibbert ate Tyson Chandler for lunch last year.
Oh, yeah.
Chandler's supposed to be an elite defensive player. I mean, Roy Hibbert just took him to school. And Chandler's the guy who doesn't score. So, I mean, I think he was in a very good system in Dallas with a very good point guard in Jason Kidd and Jason Terry and some of the guys they had there. And obviously playing with a guy like Dirk Nowitzki. So he was in a good situation there. I just don't think he's going to be that dominant of a player that he was defensively, you know, on the Knicks. He hasn't really shown it much. But the Knicks are a good team. I mean, weird things have happened. I really don't think they're going to make, you know, much noise come playoff time. I don't think they'll get bounced in the first round. But I also don't think that they can get past a team like the Pacers, who are pretty well-rounded, a team like the Heat. I don't think anyone's getting past the Heat anyway, but I don't know. I think the Knicks are a good team. I think they're going to get to the second round and be knocked out. But I could be wrong. You know, maybe Melo puts a team on his back. Maybe they form a maybe some of the role players do step up. You know, maybe some of the role players do step up. Maybe Shumpert has a good year. Maybe this kid Tim Hardaway Jr. comes and gives them some kind of a spark off the bench. You know, I don't know. But my opinion is the Knicks are maybe number five seed or something like that.
Yeah, I think the problem is the lack of size in the front court is going to continue to haunt them. And Imran
right.
Shumpert, to his credit, to his point, to your point about Shumpert, he was pretty beat up last year. I think he missed significant time. I don't even remember if he played that series.
Coming off an ACL injury.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I know. And Benigno was saying just an ACL injury, but that's serious, man. That is serious. That takes time, real time. Oh,
of course.
Absolutely. But anyway, that's your Eastern Conference. The Western Conference is going to be another one to watch. But a lot of familiar faces, I think. The real question for me is going to be Houston and Dwight Howard. Now, on the surface, they've got some pretty good talent, and that includes Chandler Parsons and also James Harden. So, generally speaking, that looks like a good team on paper. But, again, I don't trust them. Do you?
Who is your starting point guard?
I don't know. That's a good question. It could be Lynn. It could be...
No, Lynn's coming off... I read today that Lynn's coming off the bench, so I just didn't know who their starter is. I just read today that Lynn was coming off the bench. I didn't even click on the article to see who was going to start over him. But
I
was asking you if you knew.
You know, I don't have it on me right now. Let me look it up, though, because, like, basically, you're right. I think it wasn't necessarily, an easy call either way, because I mean, Lynn is more of, seems like more of an energy guy anyway, so, yeah, I think him being off the bench makes more sense. But you're right. Like, who would be the guy that takes – I was thinking, would it be Aaron Brooks then?
I can't even think right now. I'm not sure.
That's a really good. Let me just look it up in Google.
Well, they have some solid talent. I mean, I think that.
I think they're
going to be a solid team. I think James Harden is definitely one of the top shooting guards in the league. I think he is better than Dwayne Wade. I watched Dwayne Wade tonight. He's still ass cheeks. So, I think they're going to have a pretty good team. I mean, Chandler Parsons could ball. Obviously, Harden could ball, and Dwight Howard. You know, for as much shit, he just it just wasn't a fit with him in L.A. He still averaged 17 and 12, which is great, you know, for a big man, you know. So maybe those numbers go up if he's more comfortable, if, you know, the offense is more centered around him rather than Kobe Bryant. And, you know, you never know. Maybe he'll have a good year this year.
Well, he's going to get his touches. I think that part will be probably won't be an issue. By the way, Patrick Beverley is going to be the guy, I believe, who will start over Lynn. I mean, we're not talking about a world beater here, but I mean, maybe he'll be interesting. He's very young, though. He's very young, so I don't have much of a book on Patrick Beverley, but I do believe that would be the kick. That would be the play.
Okay.
I'm looking
like the Warriors, man. I do. I think the Warriors are so fun to watch. I think they have a lot of talent. Like Mark Jackson, the head coach. I think they have a lot of talent. I think Harrison Barnes is going to develop into a very good basketball player. Steph Curry, if his ankles can stay healthy, that kid can, oh my God, can he shoot. I love watching him play. Klay Thompson could play. I think losing a guy like Jared Jack actually is going to hurt them a little bit. Now, he went to Cleveland. I think he was good for them in the playoffs. He provided some of the leadership and some big shots. But I like watching the Warriors play, man. They're really fun to watch.
They are fun to watch. I mean, I think the thing about them is, as was evidenced pretty clearly in the semifinal round against the Denver Nuggets, where is the defensive presence going to come from? We'll just have to see whether Mark Jackson...
Did they lose to the Spurs?
Oh, no, it was the Spurs, right. They beat the Nuggets and then they lost to the Spurs. Correct, yeah, that's correct. But, no, I forget which was which, though. Like, was one the semi... Was it the first round in the semifinal or semifinal in the West Final? That's kind of what I was looking at. So, either way... Because same with the Spurs, though. I mean, where was their defensive presence in that series too? I mean, they kind of lost. Because remember, as is true with a lot of jump shooting teams, you lose your touch and then suddenly it really goes south. And that's what I remember from that series, especially against the Spurs. I mean, it really went south. I mean, Curry had an amazing game. He was launching 40 footers, and then all of a sudden, he lost his touch, and it was just crazy. It just was kind of tough. But I do like the Warriors as well. I think they're a fun team to watch as well, especially when you watch them there at 7:30 from Oracle. That's a fun matchup. You're big on – so you do like the Houston Rockets. You do like the Warriors.
I'm not big on them. I think they're going to be a top, you know, five team in the West. I think they're talented. I think that they have the big man. They have the guards. You know, they have a guy in Chandler Parsons who can really shoot it. And I think that I do agree with your assessment on the Clippers. Last year, their offense was just bad. You know, they didn't really have an offense. I think this year Doc Rivers will implement an offense to make them much, much better. And I still have questions about DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin on the offensive end. So it's going to be interesting to see what Doc does with them and how he moves them around. But the Clippers are very talented. You know, getting J.J. Redick, I think, was a very, very nice signing. And I think they're going to be pretty tough. I think they're going to be a tough team out the West. But, again, I wouldn't be surprised if they struggled offensively because I really do not like DeAndre Jordan or Blake Griffin's offensive game. Now, maybe Blake, you know, starting to get a little bit of a jump shot, starting to get some offensive moves. That remains to be seen, at least in my eyes. Last year, I think he had a pretty good year, but I want to see him on the offensive end this year. I want to see what kind of offense they implement, you know, that Doc Rivers implements. He said Lob City's done, so it's going to be interesting. The guy is a great, great coach. He knows the game, and, you know, he knows his talent. He knows how to coach to his personnel. So he sees what kind of personnel he has, and I'm sure he'll do something positive with them, and they'll be one of the top teams in the West.
I think that's a good synopsis. Thanks again for breaking that all down with me. We are out of time tonight, but, Captain, it really, really was fun chatting with you tonight. Go out there and show them your power, Ranger. Morphosize or whatever. It's morphin' time this weekend.
Morphin'
so.
Time, you know it. Next 2 weeks, you better pod me, bud!
I will do that. I am podding you within the next 2 weeks. Have a good time. Enjoy your Halloween, Captain. It's always good talking with you, Jerry. And we'll do it again very soon.
Have a good night, Vid.
I will tweak myself there. That was nice. I'll catch you soon, buddy. All right, good stuff. That was Cap Jerry and Piscataway with our NBA Breakdown plus World Series talk. Now it is that time again. It is 7:50, 10:50 Eastern. That means it is time for Tyler in Moorpark and his investment tips of the week. Last week, Mr. Tyler went 1-3 for a total of 2-6 on the season. But good news for you, Tyler, as we introduce you to the program. Welcome back. We are going to reset your season total because we are about to do a contest with another investment person who will be joining us in a few minutes. So, Tyler, welcome and congratulations. How are you doing tonight?
Doing super fantastic, Dave. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And look, I'm sorry that it didn't work out last week. You did have a couple of good ideas, though.
It was all part of my master plan, Dave. See, the thing that you want whenever you're researching investments or bets or whatever you want to call it is value. And I consider myself a double coupon kind of guy, buddy. So when you have somebody who's 2-6 and then you reset their picks to 0-0 and now you get somebody who wants to challenge them, that means that you want to take T-Bone, you want to take Tyler here because I'm bringing the value. I'm being undervalued right now based on my past. So
this
timing is everything, Dave.
Definitely good timing. I mean, the clean slate's going to give you a really good edge here as we bring in our second investment person. So let's get to it. You've got four games this week, two as we do every week, two college, two pro. Where do we begin on this very exciting week of football?
Well, we're going to begin with a lesson that I learned from a very wise person who's very famous that you might know, a guy named Ricky Singh. You ever heard of him by chance?
Ricky Singh. No, I am not familiar with this name.
You never heard that guy? He's the guy who got arrested for peeing in the holy water at the Vatican. You never heard about him?
No, that escapes me. I didn't realize that. That's too
funny. This is a wise guy that I once met in Vegas. He's actually from Manhattan Beach. He's from your neck of the woods. He owns He owns Ricky's Funeral Parlor in Manhattan Beach.
Okay.
You don't know about it? It's not quite the funnest place around. That'd be no. Bob's funeral. But but nonetheless, this guy Ricky gave me some advice that I'm going to pass on to you and your listeners. That is something that you should always take to heart. Okay.
Okay.
And it's gonna bring us to our first game of the week. And that is UTEP taking on Texas A&M. And I have a question for you, and I'd like you to pose this question to the guy who's challenging me. I'd like you to ask him, what does UTEP stand for?
What does UTEP stand for? All right.
Yeah, that's a question for you. Do you know what it stands for?
Do I know? Well, I think it's for me, from my interpretation, is it stands for University of Texas El Paso.
No. Ricky taught me this. UTEP stands for you take them points. You take them points, Dave. We're getting UTEP in 45.5. You take them points. That's our first game of the week, buddy.
You give
UTEP 45.5, and you take it to the bank.
All right, 45.5. We got it. UTEP against A&M.
That's our first one, buddy. We're gonna need a Brinks truck by the week's end to deposit all our money here, buddy. So UTEP plus 45.5 against A&M. That's all day and twice on Sunday. Next game, if you want to move on there, if you have no further questions. The next question I have for you is, what in college football, what's better than points?
I don't know if anything's better than points, so I would say nothing.
But you know what's better than points? Style points, buddy, style points. And that's what Mizzou is going to do. They want to improve their BCS ranking. They're going to run it up on the Volunteers. They always take a team that suffered a tough loss back at home the next week. Mizzou and that fast-paced offense is going to boat race Tennessee, buddy. They're going to knock the Volunteers out of there. Under the lights there in Mizzou, we like them. We like Mizzou in the style points, buddy. So that's tip number two from Tyler.
Love it. Now, what's the line on that game if you don't have
11.5. Mizzou minus 11.5.
Yes. Okay.
They'll cover that by minute 8 of the first quarter.
And if they're at home against Tennessee for that one, that seems like a layup. All right, so let's get to the NFL. What do you got for our two pro picks?
We like layups. On to the NFL. We're going to go with my upset special. Okay, buddy?
Ooh.
And this is the one that's – you ready for this?
Well, I don't know if you were ready for an upset special after last week's attempt with Atlanta, but We'll roll with it. We'll roll with it. What do you got?
The clean slate, Dave. You're the one who said it. You reset.
You're right.
You hit reset on the Nintendo button. You can't go back now. You can't go back to the third level on Contra. You hit reset. So we're starting all over, right?
I did hit reset. That is correct. So let's get to your upset special. What would be it? Let's hear.
Okay, this is the one that's going to get Larry Zonka to light up that cigar, buddy. The Bills taking down the Chiefs in Buffalo this week. We like the Bills plus 3.5. They're going to get those 72 Dolphins out there celebrating, popping the champagne for being the last team to go undefeated for a season. We like the Bills. Nobody, Ice Cube never wrote about the Kansas City Chiefs in one of his rap lyrics. You know that?
You're killing it tonight, Tyler. You are. And I guess, to be honest with you, I was feeling the same way about this game. I said, you know, the Chiefs have been struggling the last couple games, and they are really having a tough time with their offense, and the Bills can score points, especially if they're at home, and especially if they can get somebody back at quarterback, and maybe it'll be Tuel, maybe it'll be somebody else, but I really think you're onto something here. That could be it. I feel like that's a good pick. All right, what's your final pick?
I appreciate your support. My final pick is the Raiders. The Raiders. Taking down
baby.
The Eagles this week in Oaktown, buddy. The black hole there at the end zone, they're going to be doing their thing. Eagles still don't have a steady quarterback. If Vic comes back, he'll be hurt by the end of the first quarter. Barkley will go in there, throw four picks, and all Terrell Pryor has to do is score about 20 points, give the ball to McFadden, run on that dirt infield, and they will be cashing checks going 4-0 with Oakland in the afternoon.
Oakland, and are they getting points in this game?
They're getting 1.5. Oakland plus 1.5. And it was the Bills 3.5, by the way.
Yeah, I got the Bills 3.5. I did write that down. So great. So you're gonna go with some pretty interesting covers. Most of them are underdogs. And in particular, UTEP is going to be one I'm going to be interested in following. Great work by you, Tyler. Let's now introduce your challenger for this hour. And here he is, my good friend from formerly of the Football Pick'em podcast and currently of the MikeFrancesa.com. John in Connecticut, again, also our contributor for the College Football Preview podcast. John, welcome to the show, and thank you very much for offering this challenge. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thanks for indulging us. This is going to be fun. Tyler, with some very interesting nuggets there. So that was some good stuff.
Absolutely. Now, do you also subscribe to the fact that UTEP stands for You Take 'em Points?
No, they have literally the worst defense in college football. That line can be 60 and it'll take an M.
Okay, great. Let's begin then. And by the way, say hello to Tyler. Tyler, this is John. So you know, let's quick meet and greet here, networking opportunity.
Great to hear from you, John.
You too, Tyler. It's great that Dave initiated this segment on his program. I think it's an added element that he's been missing the past couple weeks. So very enjoyable to be here.
I like it too. I like the challenge. I like the competition here. So this is going to be good. So Tyler, this is going to be what our friend John will offer to go up against your four picks this week for investments. John, you have the floor. Take it away.
All right. We'll start in college, and my first game is a rivalry game in Michigan. I'm going to take Michigan State minus the 5.5 points. Now, if you know anything about Michigan, I saw them firsthand, and my disgraceful team known as the UConn Huskies should have beaten Michigan. It was up 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And if UConn can beat Michigan, certainly Michigan State can. Michigan's just been horrible on the road. They blew that game at Penn State. The UConn game, as I said, they nearly lost at home to Akron. I think they are severely overrated, and they're going into a hornet's nest here at Michigan State, who has one of the best defenses in college football. Their offense does worry you, but I just think there's going to be no match and an easy win for Michigan State here. So -5.5 for Michigan State for the first game. My other college game will be in the Big 12, and this should be a shootout between Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. Texas Tech comes off that tough loss to Oklahoma last week, but I really like what they've been doing this year. We kind of talked about them on the midseason show last week and their coach, Cliff Kingsbury. I think they're going to come back at home and get the cover. They're only giving 2 here against Oklahoma State. Really has not been impressive. I know they rolled Iowa State, but overall the quarterback situation has been shaky, and I just like what I've seen more from Texas Tech. So we'll go with the Red Raiders -2 for the second college pick. So those are your two college games, Michigan State minus 5.5 and Texas Tech minus 2. As for the NFL, would you believe it or not, Tyler took both of the games I was going to take. I absolutely love that Buffalo pick. They're going to win outright on the field without a doubt in my mind. I love that. And the Raiders, too. Those are my two picks, so I'm going to have to switch it up on the fly here. So for the first game, you won't believe this one, but I actually like the Jets this week. And I believe, they're getting 6 here from the Saints. And, you know, the Jets are like a roller coaster. They win one week and they lose the next. Now, they're going to be on the high point of the roller coaster this week. Their defense is pretty good. The Saints are not the same team away from the dome, and their defense is certainly not the same team away from the dome. I think the Jets keep this game closer, possibly even win. So give me the Jets in a close game here. After everyone I've seen in America pretty much is on the Saints, I think this will be a close game. So give me the Jets and the points. And then the second game, really struggling here for options. So I'm just going to go to the old faithful on Monday night with my Packers. They've looked just tremendous the past couple weeks. I really love what they're doing with their running game. The Bears were just absolutely gashed the last 2 weeks by the Redskins and the team they played before that, the Giants. They're freaking letting Brandon Jacobs' corpse run for about 80 yards on them in that game. I can only imagine what Eddie Lacy and James Starks and the rest of that offensive line blocking is going to do. I think the Packers will win this one pretty easy by 14 to 17 points, call it 38 to 20, something of that nature. So your two NFL games will go with the Jets plus 6 and Green Bay minus 11. So there you go, Dave, my investments for this weekend.
John, it really was a great job out of you, and it really brings back memories of your old show on the podcast. It really has been a good show for a few years, and we do miss it. I just want to on behalf of everybody else who's listening tonight, we want to express our thanks for your doing that show over the last couple of years. And That this spot really reminds me of that, because it was really, really fun to break it down. And good picks, too. I mean, I think I found it interesting.
We'll see. Only good picks if they win.
Well, I suppose so. But all the same, it really has been a fun spot. I mean, what do you remember? How much did you enjoy doing that football pick'em show over the years? I mean, was that sort of a highlight of your week?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, a lot of behind the scenes and, organizing the thing. But, yeah, it was definitely pretty cool. I mean, I haven't given up on the idea of, doing podcasts and stuff, just the right opportunity and things have to come about. You know, babe, how all this stuff works.
That's true. It definitely is, there's a lot that goes into a podcast every week. And so we're always glad to have everybody aboard to partake and embark on it. So, fellas, Tyler, those are his picks. I mean, are you surprised that he had a checker on a checker with a couple of those, meaning he agreed with two of your picks? Although he will not use them for the competition, but it's interesting that you guys agree there. The Bills one, I mean, this is like a triple checker on a checker. I agree on it, too. It's kind of scary. I don't know why. I guess that's sort of just, you get this feeling about the Chiefs, like they're on thin ice. I mean, Tyler, I mean, you've seen some Chiefs games, too. Do you think that the Chiefs are only a matter of time before they start losing some games?
Affirmative, hometown. I've seen the Chiefs go 13-3 and losing the first round to the Broncos. The Chiefs, Chiefs are known for blowing these games. No one's nominating Alex Smith for MVP. So this team is pretty average. Not very impressed by him. I think Christian Okoye is not walking through those doors, buddy. So I think we're going to be home free with CJ Spiller and Fred Jackson doing their thing, and Stevie Johnson having some wild touchdown dances.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, John, as far as the quarterback situation with Buffalo, I mean, who are they going to get? I mean, Tua looked hurt too. Do you think he'll be healthy enough for this week? I mean, which way would they go?
God, no. Why would they play him? He looked absolutely pathetic when he got into the game. I mean, Bad Lewis, he looked pretty good the past couple weeks. They should just stick with him until E.J. Manuel can come back.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, I think once Manuel gets back, they'll suddenly be, pretty interesting to watch. So I think that sounds like a plan, too. All right, guys, it really has been a lot of fun. I want to thank you both for chipping in tonight. I hope we can keep doing this week to week, and we'll let you know the results a week from now. Thanks again very much. Good luck to you both, and have a good weekend.
Take care, pal.
Thanks.
All right, fellas. That's it from John in Connecticut and Tyler in Moorpark. Your investments of the week. It's been a lot of – this is a really exciting new venture definitely, as John said, a much-needed element to the program. No top of our ID. We won't have time for it tonight. Very loaded program. So let's get to America's favorite moment in Sports Talk Podcasting.
To the dance. It's time for random questions.
Good stuff.
In the city with Kevin on the case.
You know, just going back to the investment segment, I mean, there really was a lot of dynamic there. You know, you had the West Coaster versus the East Coaster. You've got the one guy versus the other guy. Two different styles of doing games, and this is going to be very good juice for the rest of the season. So I'm really excited about it, and I'm excited to bring our friend Kevin on the Cape, who is just feeling the Red Sox fever in Massachusetts. Kevin, welcome back to the program. How's it going tonight?
Red Sox fever, Dave.
It is all over. I mean, are you excited? Catch it.
I'm out of my mind.
Game 6 tomorrow. Tickets starting at $2,000.
Game 6, which is an usual unspoken about curse word in Red Sox language.
Oh, man. Oh, is that true? Is it that bad? I guess the last Game 6, yeah, you're right. That was, you know, back in 86. Game 6 there. Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, you know, yeah, don't get us wrong. You know, in 75, it was a good word. In 86, it was a bad word.
Right. But I guess the outcome was the same either way, right, back in those days. You know, that's an interesting observation you brought up about 75. That game went 14 innings. I think it was 14. Carlton Fisk hits it off the pole. Massive Jubilee celebration. It gets replayed a million times on TV highlights. But the Reds won the series. Like, this Game 7 at Fenway, they won, like, 18-0 or something like that. I mean,
Dave, if you polled America, I guarantee you 85% would say that the Red Sox won the 75 World Series.
Yeah, exactly. That is just so bizarre about the whole thing. And so, you know, it's nice that was a nice moment and everything, and it certainly was one of the most iconic moments in baseball, but I've never seen someone that used so much in history in a losing effort. Like, they lost the series from that. You know, David Freese's two-run triple to save the 2011 World Series against the Rangers, that won them the series. Angels making a five-run comeback against the Giants in 02, Game 6, that won them the series. This is the only time I've ever seen it in sports where you'd see a moment like that, and the team went on to lose the series anyway. It was kind of – I always thought that was really funny, like how that mapped out. You know, you're right, 80%.
You're right. It's probably more because of the camera work and they got the Fisk thing. It was more of like, you know, it's more dramatic. But, yeah, it's amazing that some clip gets played so much in a losing effort. You're right, Dave. I don't think there's ever been a more – publicized or used in entertainment or movies or than that game. And they lost. They lost the series. Who cares?
And, you know, it's very funny how those things work out in life and in sports, especially in sports. I mean, you see that and it'll happen. I mean, I guess the only thing that really comes close to that is, like, when you see, like, Elway against the Browns two times in the 80s, first the drive, then the fumble 2 years later. And it's like, whoa, this amazing dramatic comeback. And then they went on to get pounded by the Giants in the Super Bowl. It's just like, but that's a little different. It doesn't even have the same kind of equation, but I do feel like that's a similar kind of paradigm. You know what I mean?
I hear you how it's a similar paradox, but I guarantee you that I have seen this homer 100 times more than I've seen the other way drive.
That's true. No, I mean, it makes, like, every every baseball intro, you see the Fisk pointing to the thing. Hey, I made it! You know, it's always so funny. I mean, I don't want to say it's the most overrated baseball highlight of all time, but certainly the kind of play it gets...
You don't want to say it, but you just said it, and you're right. seriously, Dave, put it this way. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, but it would be like if Don Larson pitched a perfect game and they lost the game after to lose the series.
Right.
Because you see that all the time. It's amazing how much they – and maybe they don't show it that much anymore. I don't know. But maybe when the Red Sox were pathetic, they were trying to give the fans something to be happy about. But it is insane how much that is viewed as it's literally viewed as the Bill Mazeroski, Bobby Thompson. It's amazing. They show that, and they're like, oh, yeah, the Red Sox must have won that game. That's great. What a great way to win a World Series.
Absolutely. You know, and I'll be fair here. I mean, if that's the number one most overblown highlight of all time, I think you could also argue that the Kirk Gibson home run was probably number two. I'll say the reason I think it's number two is because the Dodgers won that series in five, and that happened in game one. And it's not like it ended the series or they won them the World Series. It's not like it blew, you know, it wasn't the jaw-breaking moment in the series per se. But I guess you could argue that it did sort of break the A's back, because like when you saw that they were so dominant in that game and only to lose it like that, and maybe that was a psychologically just a nail in the coffin for them, even though it was only game one. But what's crazy is that Kirk Gibson never even had another at bat in the whole series at all. He was never heard from again. And that just shows you how dramatic that was.
I don't think he put a uniform on. He was so beaten up.
Yeah, he was really bad shape. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, the more you read and see about this, I mean, the more you realize how unbelievable that was. I mean, it was truly a miracle. I mean, as big a miracle as you can see, you know, outside of like those sermons or something that they have on TV where they like hit the guy and then he goes, "I'm healed," you know, that guy kind of thing. It was just pure madness.
I mean, I've been on record plenty of times with their tier of the board to talk about Bob Costas and his annoyance and his weirdness and his annoying behavior. But if you listen to him tell the story of that game, it gives you goosebumps, because he was back then. He was just the sideline, if you will, the dugout or sideline reporter for NBC. Or back in the day, he was basically in the hallway or whatever it was, you know, that you lead from to the dugout, and he was sitting there watching the entire scene unfold. And to listen to him tell that story it totally just makes the hair on your neck just stand up. It's amazing.
Oh, I don't disagree with you there. I mean,
yeah, like
that entire
Gibson's barely dressed, you know, in the eighth inning, and Lasorda's sending people back to see if he can get it, you know, wants to pinch hit, and he's taking swings, and he's screaming in pain and thinking, you know, maybe I got one swing left in me. Like, it was a total, like, movie scene. And then he gets up against Eckersley and just totally changes the whole series.
It is incredible. I mean, just that whole 88 World Series is just so, really, it really is out of a movie. I mean, they can make any movie they want about baseball on a fictitious level, and I don't know if it will match the impossibility of what happened in that one. In fact, I imagine one day they'll make an actual movie about it. Like, you know, they'll call it Impossible, the 1988 Dodgers story or something like that. And it could be just an incredible movie.
Dave Medina as Tommy Lasorda. I like it.
Oh, I could do that. All I have to do is go back to, you know, get in a few more peaches, roll down to
right.
the...
Oh,
you're
going to have to get a lot. You're going to have to get a lot better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's a requirement. I'll do what Tommy does, go to the Italian restaurant, just keep eating and eating and eating pasta, and that'll probably get me right up to plump about 280, and it'll probably be just for the movie. It should be good.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's a good night. I'm feeling it tonight. You know, it's baseball fever. I know how much you love baseball, because every time we talk about it, I can just feel a little extra energy in your voice. And so, I mean, this fever is pretty real. And I know that if the ticket prices were lower, I know you would have found a way to Fenway tomorrow or Thursday night for that game. But just give me a quick synopsis of what the mood is around the Cape for this series, because I know every single person in Massachusetts is big on the Red Sox. So, you know, what is the mood right now where you are?
Well, you know, generally everybody is excited. However, at least where I am, I mean, even last year, Dave, when they won 69 games, the difference here, where from where I grew up, when the Mets were terrible, you wouldn't see people wearing Mets hats. You wouldn't see people wearing Mets jacket. And then when the Mets were good, all of a sudden everyone in the neighborhood had Mets hats and Mets jackets. The difference where I live now, which I realized last year when the Red Sox were horrendous and Bobby Valentine was crapping on every player's heads, everyone still wore their Red Sox hats. Everyone still wore their jackets. Everyone still watched the games. It's a different feeling where, you know, they didn't abandon the team. They don't abandon the team when they're terrible, which was so weird to me, because when I grew up, you know, when the Mets were bad, you didn't even talk about it. You didn't even watch the games. You didn't want to be your favorite player on the playground. The guys here, the old guys that come to my store, the same guys who wore the hats last year are wearing the hats this year. The same guys who wore their Red Sox, you know, pullovers are wearing them now. They're happier now. Obviously, no one liked last year, but it's the same people. It's the same. They're more excited. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, the team was terrible last year in the World Series now, but the difference here is their loyalty doesn't change, which was impressive to me last year, I guess, more than it is even this year. It's, you know, they've got their, you know, they, like I said, I know it sounds silly just to judge it by people wearing hats and T-shirts, but they watch their games every night. When Bobby Valentine was throwing gas cans on the freaking pitcher's mound and making fun of his own players, they still watch the games. I mean, they complained about Valentine, but they still watched the game every night, and they were still there, and they still talked about it to me in the store the next day and wanted to talk about the move and who pinched it for who, and Dick Williams would never do that, and Joe Morgan would never do that. And, I mean, these guys know their baseball. They know their history. It's been pretty cool.
That's pretty good, and I'm really glad to hear that, and I don't think it's a huge surprise. But it's good to be reassured that the loyalty for the Red Sox is still there. That's pretty cool. So, Junkman, it is quarter past the hour, and that means it is time for the Clown Car Driver of the Month Award. And to help us present the nominees tonight is our friend Andy in Seattle. Are you excited about these nominees tonight for the Clown Car Driver of the Month? Remember, you get to decide the winner. So this is pretty exciting news here.
I am very excited.
All right, well, here we go. Here is Andy in Seattle with his nominees for Clown Car Driver of the Month.
Hey, Junkman, it's time to award the October Clown Car Driver. Three choices. Number one, is it Kathleen Sebelius, or whoever, or however you pronounce her last name? Is it her and everyone else involved in the Obamacare website fiasco? Number two, is it Greg Schiano? I know he was in the mix last month. However, nothing has changed in the zoo of Tampa football. And number three, is it the faction of Mongos out there that truly believe that the only reason, the sole reason, the only reason why the Red Sox have had any success in October postseason baseball is due to Dave Ortiz's steroid use? Thank you. I'm listening.
All right, let's see what you think. So, again, to recap, you had the Obamacare website lady, you have Schiano, and you have Mongos who think that Ortiz is juicing as the reason for the success. How do you stand on this? Who do you think is going to be the driver of the clown car?
All right, first of all, Andy in Seattle is the third element that our show needs. He's absolutely terrific.
Agreed.
Granted, he sounded like he was reporting that question on the wing of an airplane. He might have to, you know, clean that sound up a little bit. But moving on from that, first choice is, regardless of the clown car people in the Obama administration, the fact that I actually have to pay more now. Dave, you and I have never gotten political or religious on the show, so I'm not going to start it now.
Okay.
Choice B, Schiano is totally useless. He's a total non-factor in the world. He's a joke. I don't even think he deserves an award. So I'm picking choice B. And partly because one of the reasons that I am so annoyed at whether it's not even Yankee fans, maybe it's just non-Boston fans that go on the, oh, geez, steroids, blah, blah, and they always compare it to A-Rod. It's because they don't get it, Dave. I'm going to say that they don't understand the difference. And I'm going to explain it to, so first of all, my choice is C as far as clown car people winning the award. But I'm going to explain this for all the Yankee fans and all the people who don't like Boston and Ortiz very quickly. People don't hate A-Rod because he did steroids. They don't understand why they think that is the deal. They do not hate A-Rod because he cheated. So many guys have cheated. They hate got it when he rounds third base. They call A-Rod. They don't like A-Rod because he runs over the pitcher's mound. They don't like A-Rod because he knocked out Bronson Arroyo's glove and then pretended he didn't do anything. They don't like A-Rod because he started a charity to make himself look good, and then when it was examined, they found out he donated 1% of the proceeds to charity. They don't like A-Rod because he's a complete asshole. It has nothing to do that he did steroids. They don't care. No one cares that people do steroids. It's amazing to me that people think that the reason why Ortiz is applauded and A-Rod is vilified is because of something other than the fact that A-Rod is just a giant asshole. I mean, people like, it sounds so silly, but people like David Ortiz. They know he did steroids. I know he did steroids. Andy in Seattle knows he did steroids. You know he did steroids. No one cares that they do steroids. But he's a good dude. He goes on air, on TV, right after the Boston Marathon and says, fuck you, this is our town. Fuck you, you terrorists. And people go crazy. They love him, whether it's real or not. A-Rod has this little pretty boy image, and everything he's ever touched has turned to shit. That's why they don't like him. It has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with who does steroids and who doesn't. It has to do with what kind of a guy you are, you know, with your friends. And it's mind-boggling to me that Yankee fans think that people don't like A-Rod because of steroids. No one cares that A-Rod did steroids. They care that he's just such a pretentious asshole. That's why no one likes him.
Boy, what a great response to the question, Junkman. And you know, there's a lot of merit to that point. I mean, there really is. I mean, I think A-Rod has been a bit of a phony for most of his lifetime. And I think he got exposed, recently. And that's really what it comes down to. I think a lot of Yankee fans can't stand him either. That's the other half of it. But, you know, to try to make it a us versus them situation is kind of silly, just because there's really not much to defend when it comes to that guy. So great response. And thanks to Andy in Seattle for sending that in. Next month, when we do the clown car of the month, clown car driver of the month, I look forward to a future audio from his pen.
Yeah,
it'll be good.
Great job, Andy.
So, great job, Andy. We really appreciate it. We'll do it again next time. So let's get to the rest of the random questions tonight. A lot of them here with our pretty
nice,
loaded
very
chat room. Oh, yeah. Oh, we got some good ones tonight, too.
It was a good choice to switch the nights because no one probably would have listened to our asses tomorrow.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I felt that was going to happen, you know, from the moment I saw that this series was going six. I'm like, yeah, who's going to watch this thing during a World Series game? Like, who's going to tune in the podcast tonight, that night? So I figured, let's move it at least. Or I was going
to
not do it at all.
Yeah, great to have Blog Talk Radio to the night. No, it's great stuff.
I agree. Having the spot open is a big deal. So we appreciate it, Blog Talk Radio, and we appreciate all of you listening tonight here on the show. So let's get to number one of the random questions for this hour. Yes, and if you have a question for us to add, write the word question followed by the question itself, and we will answer them in order through the rest of this hour. All right, so we start with this question. Would you start Terrell Pryor against the Eagles or RG3 against the Chargers in fantasy football?
Fantasy question? Okay.
Yeah.
I would start Terrell Pryor against whoever he's playing.
Yeah, I would too. Very good choice, and I'll tell you where I think it's a good choice. It's a good choice because he's healthier, And he's in better command of the ball right now. RG3 is getting hammered every which way. I don't think he's healthy. And he just doesn't look too good right now. And the Chargers are a good defense anyway. I mean they're not great, but they can get after the quarterback from time to time. So I think the Pryor versus the Eagles is a way better pick. I don't necessarily say it's a
Pryor has that sort of ability to suck, for 2.5 quarters and all of a sudden make an amazing play for long yards, string a couple of plays together and get you a lot of points, where it seems to me like Robert Griffin, sort of like a Bill Sims kind of, he might win the game, but his stats are just normal. They're not great. Where Terrell Pryor, if you're looking, and especially now we're getting into the second half of fantasy football, you want to look for a little lightning in the bottle there.
I'm with you. I think that'll be a good pickup. And it's funny how Terrell Pryor got the starts on the team. It's because guys got injured left and right at the quarterback position, so they just threw him in there like, all right, just see what you got. He went to being the best option of the three, and that's what's really cool about it. I mean, we're really happy for him, actually, that he's done so well thus far with the Raiders. I mean, he even looked like he was going to beat the Colts in Week 1. I mean, it was that close. He really had them by the throat for a while. So it's a pleasant surprise, and I'm sure Raider fans certainly are enjoying that part of it. It's going to be a good one. I mean, I would give them a chance to beat the Eagles. I don't necessarily think they will, but if there's a chance to pick them, they're still not favorites, and I think they're at home for that game too, if I'm remembering it correctly.
Oh,
yeah, I know. They're still an underdog, even though the Eagles have looked like garbage last week or so. My apologies to Mike's mistress, but they have looked pretty bad. So we'll see what happens there. Actually, I owe her a lot of apologies for a few things, but next question. Next question. When was the last time you cried? The last time you cried for any reason? When was the last time that you cried?
Wow. Am I allowed to break the board message junkie privilege and ask who asked that question?
Yes, you can. Let me just make sure and see. I have to figure it out for myself because I don't know who answered. Because when I copy the questions, I only copy the actual question. So most of the time, if it's way back in the past, I have to scroll up through the chat thing. Give me a minute. I'll get that for you. Give me a minute. Oh, okay. It was say hello to Otis. Say hello to Otis.
Wow. Otis has actually come on lately with really good questions. I know originally in our Dave, I don't even know. I don't want to go on a tangent, but this is like the third year we've done this. It seems like a really long time.
I think we started the random question segment. It was, I think, July, maybe August 2011. So
wow.
I believe you're correct. So, yeah, this would be our third year.
So, I mean, Tommy and John and Georgia and Andy have always sort of, but Otis has come on lately as being one of the better questioners, I think, if I can say so myself.
I gotcha.
Anyway, to answer Otis's question, and this is going to, I don't care. And obviously the success of the show has been based on the fact that I don't really care what people think. So I will tell Otis right now, I cried about an hour ago.
Really? For laughing, I guess? Or what was the reason?
Oh, no, not for laughing at all. I mean, I can tell you the story if you want. I don't think people want to hear why I cried.
Yeah, we got time. Let's hear the story. Let's hear it.
The question, he wants to know when was the last time I cried, and the answer is an hour ago. It's about 11:30 right now on the East Coast, so it's about 10:30.
Yep. And I'm sorry, I missed this. What was the reason for your crying?
I get emotional about a very small amount of things. One of those things is like most people, memories and music and stuff. And for some reason, I got fixated on a random sort of loop of YouTube videos of the band, have Levon Helm, Rick Danko, and Garth Hudson, which, amazingly enough, we can tell this at a later story when we have more time. I've actually met all three of them at different times in person and had conversations with them. And so I'm going back and forth watching these videos, you know, on YouTube. But what made me emotional is thinking of the times I actually met them when I was a kid. Not as a kid, in my 20s, and talking to them and, you know, meeting these legends that I had grown up with and listened to music with my uncles and my dad and cousins and stuff. And what made me more emotional was not the YouTube videos, because, you know, that's just rock and roll, but it's all of a sudden I was watching them thinking about the time where I'm sitting in Levon Helm's barn watching him play the drums, and then he hangs out with us and drinks whiskey, and the time that I'm working at the door at a bar in New Paltz, New York, and Rick Danko just shows up out of nowhere and is hanging out all night till 4 in the morning, or Garth Hudson's sitting next to me at a baseball game on the Cape, and I go, "Hey, aren't you Garth Hudson?" And he looks at me and says, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Don't worry, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I'm not going to cause a scene." He says to me, "I'm not a big deal." And I go, "Seriously, dude, you are a big deal." And I get up and I'm like, I just need to hug you. You just, you know, you were part of my entire childhood. And it was just, and it's, wow. It's so strange that Otis would ask that question tonight, where literally an hour ago I was going through all this, you know, watching on my little iPad, watching these videos of these guys that are just completely beyond the stratosphere of music and talent, but they were just so down to earth, normal, just human beings that made you feel better about yourself after meeting them, that I got a little teared up, I'm not gonna lie.
That's pretty touching, buddy. That's a great story. I'm really glad you mentioned it. Wow, that's pretty good. Now, we're running out of time. Would you like me to answer the question? I can.
Well, we all know that it's when Peach's season ended.
Well, you're not that far off. All right, next question. All right, here we go. Junkie. Okay, let's see. Which one of these do I do? This is a question for Junkie. How the bleep did you get my email address? That question comes from Meredith.
How did I get her email address?
Yeah. Did you get her email address? I don't know. I mean, I'm just reading the questions as I get them.
I'm pretty sure that I was given her email address.
Oh, okay.
I don't have, like, some sort of super secret government email address finder.
Okay. All right. Very well. Next question. Have you ever equated a woman's vagina to a peach?
No.
No? Okay.
Absolutely not.
I can't agree with that answer. I have, but I'll stop. Next question. Okay. Has Junkman ever boned a Kennedy on the Cape? What does that mean?
Well,
there's so many of them. I guess. What do you think? Yeah, well,
it's true. There is a lot of them. However, I will say this: they do not venture, you know, to my area. I'm pretty far out here. They pretty much stick to Hyannis and Hyannis Port. You don't see, you know, a random drunk Kennedy out as far as I am. You know, I'm not saying I wouldn't if I had the chance. I'm just saying they don't really get out here that much.
I see. I gotcha. So, you know, it's just a matter of just probability at that point. It's sort of like, you know, well, the odds of it actually occurring are tough because of the likelihood of one being in your area is. I gotcha. No. That math really works out pretty well.
If you want to get into technicalities, Dave, I mean, the high school that I went to was called John F. Kennedy. So, I mean, there were girls that were John F. Kennedy graduates that I may or may have not have slept with. I don't think that's what the question meant, though.
I gotcha. I'm thinking of peach season right now, actually. Can we, let's get another question. If you have a question for us, write the word question followed by the question itself, and we will continue to answer them through the rest of these next few minutes. So if you've got one for us, let us know, and we will include fantasy questions in that tally. So if you've got one, let us know. We're doing our part with fantasy football as well, despite the fact we have, like, no quarterbacking. But I will say that Alex Smith had
it. We're not talking about our team, Dave.
Yeah, I think we're going to just, you know, zip it right there. All right, next question. Here we go. When's the last time you sent a nude pic to someone?
Never.
Yeah, so I have not sent a nude pic to anybody as of now. So the answer is also never for yours truly.
I mean, there are people who like to send them often, but I'm not one of them. I mean, I've sent pictures of myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, right. I've sent pictures of, but as far as complete nude, like a picture of my junk, I've never sent someone a picture of my penis.
You know, I've always wondered. No, that's good. I mean, that's perfectly fine, and I can say the same for myself. But what is the purpose of a guy sending just his schlong to people by itself? Like, wouldn't a woman want the whole picture? Like, wouldn't there be an interest in the rest of the body? I mean, that's why I get a little confused. Like, how does he think that that's going to arouse anybody? Like,
I get it, yeah, I agree with you. I get a little confused.
You know what I mean? It's just kind of, well, I mean that in an objective level. I just thought that was odd. I mean, sure, we've seen like Chris Cooley and Brett Favre do that sort of thing, and it's just weird. Like, the whole thing's just kind of weird. Okay, next question. All right, here we go. Next question. All right. We don't have any questions. So if you have any, if you have a question for us, write the word question followed by the question itself. We'll go through the rest of that as the hour goes along. Oh, here's a question. Do you like cheese?
Do I like the cheese?
No. Well, that would be a separate question.
I mean, they're like,
do you like,
no, yeah.
Do you like cheese? Like, you know, cheddar cheese or, you know, that kind of cheese.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Who doesn't like cheese?
Well, if you're lactose intolerant, you would not like cheese.
Well,
but other than
those
that,
people are just weak.
All right, so you like cheese. Okay, I like cheese, too.
Let me get this right. I don't eat cheese a lot because I used to be, you know, a complete fat slob who would eat, you know, just a giant block of cheese just for a snack. But I'm no longer 300 pounds anymore. So I appreciate cheese. I like cheese, but I eat it in very small doses these days. Only because now I'm not a fat slob anymore. I don't ever want to go back to being a fat slob.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. Good. Good deal. I mean, you can't, especially if you eat it by itself. Like, cheese eating it by itself is almost like a one-way ticket to obesity, you know, among other one-way tickets to obesity. Like, what's the quickest way to get fat? You eat fat. So if you eat pure fat, like if you eat a lot of cream, if you, like, eat a bucket of ice cream followed by a block of cheese every day, you will gain a lot of fat content very, very quickly. So, yeah, I think that's a wise move on your part.
You're and so not, true, yeah. David. I have... In the at the market, I make a bunch of soups and chowders and stuff, you know, for people to have, you know, sort of like a lunch thing or whatever at the store. And I make this lobster bisque where I have never in my life, in the years that I've made this, actually even tasted it because it is so unhealthy. And these people just suck it up like it's it has so much heavy cream and so much stuff that will kill you. I want to tell them, not only is it expensive, you know, it's like $11 for a bowl of soup. I want to tell them you need to go see your cardiologist if you're eating this. But they, I tell my bosses this all the time, like, what are we doing here? We're killing these people. And they're like, well, it's making us a lot of money. And I'm telling you, these people eat it up like crazy. And these fat bastards come in and they just suck it up. And I'm like, you need to be better friends with your heart. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's delicious and everything, but, you know, moderation is huge. And you can feel it when you eat something and you know it's really bad. Like, you'll know right away. It's not like, you know, it's ambiguous. You have ice cream, you know, you can feel, oh, man, this isn't good for me. You know, that kind of thing. You got to do it. It's more sparingly. But I will admit, full disclosure here, I've eaten a Klondike bar like 4 days in a row. It's not good to do that. Do not try that at home. Please do not do that. But I wanted to finish him up already so I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't be thinking about it the whole time.
But you also go into a pool and burn like 3,000 calories swimming. You know, these
yeah,
people
I'm
that
very
I'm talking
fortunate.
About do not partake in your, you know, exercise routine.
No, that's key. I really take value in my exercise, and I don't want to start slacking off on that now because then I won't get away with stuff like that anymore. So absolutely, I think exercise is essential. But I should try to be healthier with my diet so I can be even better. Like, I can be an even better athlete, so to speak. So I think that would be nice. But it's hard to say no. You know, like, you see a steak in the store, and it looks so nice, and you want to take it home and grill it. I mean, it's hard to say no to that. It's hard to say no to peanut butter sandwiches and peaches and pizza, you know. But the key to all of that is just to eat a regular amount. Like, the guys that get really fat will have no problem eating, like, 3 Klondike bars in a day. That just seems unfathomable to me, to eat that much ice cream at once. Just to give you an idea.
Sort of what we're talking about is guys I know who drink like freaking Vikings and eat insane amounts of steak and all that kind of stuff. But these are the same guys who, before they leave, you know, they leave work, they go to the gym for 2 hours. You know, they're 220 pounds, 6'2", and you watch them drink and eat like crazy, but gain any weight. It's the people who are killing themselves or the people who never take a walk down the block. You know, they just wake up and eat like shit and sit in front of a desk. And those are the people who are dying from this. It's not the guys that I know who are, like I said, who they go on a treadmill after work, or they're on their feet all day, whatever their job is. Maybe they, you know, it's that sedentary lifestyle. They sit in the office and then you eat all that stuff and you go to bed. You know, at no point during your day have you burned a calorie.
I got you there, Mr. You know, that's actually quite frightening, to be honest with you. So let's get to our next series of questions. A bunch of them just flew in. So let's go through these quickly. Okay.
Nice.
So this is great. I mean, so we are now up to this question. If this is also from the Oat Man, he asks, if you went to the store tomorrow to get a bagel, what bagel would you get and what are you putting on it?
Well, Otis, my friend, we don't, at least I don't get bagels here on the Cape because they're terrible. So therefore, I cannot answer that question because I would never get a bagel on the Cape because they're awful.
Okay.
However,
very well.
If I'm going to answer the question in New York, I'm going to tell them I'm going to get a sesame bagel with a little, like, vegetable cream cheese, not toasted.
Sesame bagel with cream cheese. Good basic, good choices, fundamental choices. I like it. Here's my choice. All right. So at the bagel shop, I would go and get an everything bagel, which has sesame seeds on it, and I would use the lox spread, which is a salmon-based spread. There's actual pieces of salmon in it, and that would be my choice. So everything bagel with lox spread.
I got to send you my salmon grab box that I make in the store. I really like it. I didn't even know you liked that kind of stuff.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I do. A smoked salmon on a bagel is just the best.
Well, I smoke salmon as well, but I also have this cured salmon, which is more like a lox salmon that you might enjoy.
Oh, they're both really good. I think one is easier to eat than the other one. So the spread is always the way to go most of the time. And so that's why I do that. But it's just tremendous. So I would be very happy to entertain some of the of your salmon submissions. Feel free to send that my way. I'll give you an address at some point in the future. Great. All right. Next question. Random question. Kevin on the Cape and I and Dave Medina. Here we go. Have you ever used a racial epithet? Well, let me just stop there. Have you ever used a racial epithet ever?
Yes.
What?
Absolutely.
Okay. When did you do this?
I think I was about 7 years old.
Oh, okay. You were seven. Well, all right.
Are we talking about actually in an anger way, or when I didn't know what it meant? Because my story is, I still remember this first like it was yesterday. I said the N-word in the neighborhood. I had no idea what it meant. I heard it from somebody else. As far as using anger at some person, no, I've never used it.
That okay,
way. But yeah, no, I tell you, I'm not. We've never lied on this show, so I'll tell you. When I was a kid, 7 or 8 years old, I think I was just shouting out the N-word because somebody said it at a barbecue or I heard it somewhere. And I grew up in a neighborhood of Chinese, Jewish, Asian. I grew up in a great diverse neighborhood, and I said that word on the playground, and these kids were like, "What the hell is the matter with you?"
Yeah, that's right. They should have been, but. You didn't know. That's good.
Right. And the bad part was that they kicked the shit out of me. But the good part was after they kicked the shit out of me, they explained to me what I did wrong. And then I never forgot that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm really glad you explained that. I am. Because I'll be honest. I'm trying to think about that time in my life where maybe I would have said it and just... I mean, I've never used – the key word here is racial. I've never used anything like that in my life up to now. I never will. I don't want to. I mean, I just get the feeling – and this is where it gets really, really grisly, I think, with me. I feel like there are some people who kind of, want to, but they don't out of respect. We're in the water cooler or something like that, and a couple guys kind of knew each other, and they're like – and then they kind of just, drop their guard down and they start throwing some racial humor in there. And that's no. I have no interest in that.
Right.
So it's kind of that's where I feel like I've never – and I don't want to sound like some kind of bleeding heart here. I'm sorry for that. But just to answer the question, no, I have not used it, and I do not intend to as long as I live. And if I get drunk, I'm not going to go like Riley Cooper and start throwing them out there because I think stuff like that would have to be – I think at some point it would have to be in your DNA if you really kind of had that sort of vibe about you. And I'm just hoping that it'll stay that way. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's a very complicated question. But anyway, there you go. Next question. Does 1776 guy post on the board? Does he post here? What's his Twitter? 1776 guy is that video. That simulated Francesa in 1776.
I'm not supposed to have an answer to whether or not he's on the board.
I don't know. It's just kind of a riff
on
the whole thing.
I will say a tremendous part of my afternoon was on the Sports Hub, Dave, which EWEI is the well-known sports talk, but the Sports Hub, which is 98.5, the FM station, which is sort of like the rival of WEI, at 1:50, they play it's amazing. I don't know if it's every day because I'm not in the car every day, but they play Mike Francesa clips, their favorite Francesa clips of the day, and it's hysterical in there. And they'll play the clip, and you can hear them laughing and commenting on the background. And today, I hear the 1862 version of Mike Francesa on with these clowns from Boston commenting in the background. They played this guy the fake Francesa, I guess is what we'll call him. Talking about meeting John Wilkes Booth on the train. I almost drove off the road. It was so funny.
That is good. That this stuff's making like regular radio too. That's a riot right
yeah,
there.
I think in general it's because both stations are owned by CBS, so they can obviously they can get the fan clips and stuff that have no worry about.
Right.
That kind of garbage or you know that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was. And they were calling him Mike Zahn or whatever. It was kind of surreal to me from where we are, where we listen to Mike and we talk about it and we have the message board and stuff, and this Boston show is just saying, and here is Mike Zahn from 1862, and I was like, what are you talking about? And all of a sudden I hear, yeah, I ride the trains a lot, and I talk to John Wilkes Booth. Man, he hates Lincoln, and this guy's got the voice down, and it was hysterical.
That is hysterical. I wish I could have heard that. Maybe it's on archive somewhere at the Sports Hub website or something like that. That really sounds good. Okay, good. That was a fun question. Okay, next question. Which board member would you buy a drink for? Ooh, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I've never really made too much of a secret about this. I've always been a big fan of Tom in New Jersey. I would love to hang out with Tom.
Hang out
at the bar, watch a game. He's funny, but he can be serious, and he's got a lot of interests. I mean, I know I don't share a lot of the movie interests that he has. That would probably go beyond me, but if I could get him to agree to not talk about movies, I think we'd have a blast.
Yeah, that would be not talk about movies or socks for that matter. That would be a fun conversation, though. It would be interesting.
He seems like a normal, down-to-earth kind of guy, you know.
He is. I would say so. I've met him in person, and that's my field, too, when I've talked to him.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, last year. Remember, I was at – if you remember, I was at
– Is he as short as I think he is?
Yes, he is, actually. He's a little shorter than me, I think. Either he's as short as me, or he's, like, maybe an inch shorter or an inch taller. But he's right around my height, so he's not that tall, and I'm not that tall either, so I feel like – That is an accurate statement.
I mean, normally the easy answer on the show is for me to buy you a drink, but then if I bought you a drink, you'd be on the floor. You'd be passed out. So it wouldn't be that much fun.
Oh,
I need someone who could at least, belly up to the bar for a while. I don't know. I think Tommy, he could do his stuff. I think after an hour with me, I think, Dave, you'd be face down. On the floor.
All right, I understand. I understand it. Yeah, you know,
we all heard your tales of your four beer night. That was quite funny.
The four beer night. That got around, didn't it?
I had four beers on the ride home from work.
Right.
So I don't know.
That is. All right. Very well. And our next question. And who would I want to buy a drink for? I'd like to buy a drink for everybody on the board. It doesn't matter who. So I don't have a preference. If you're from the board and you meet me, I'll get you a drink. That's my approach.
No, good answer. Good answer.
It's kind of a BS answer too, but it's all right.
But it isn't. It's a good answer.
Okay. Well, very, very good. Next question, would you ever go to Disney World or Disneyland by yourself?
No.
Okay.
Disney, no. What? By myself?
I don't know.
What would be the point of that?
So you don't have to worry about, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. I just, some people do. So I just was, the question was asked, would you do it? And I don't know. I mean, I don't think many people would. So we figured it was worth at least asking just to see where you stood.
No. The only way I'm going to one of those places is if I have, like, three or four kids who are,
And just so everybody's clear, I know exactly what this is about. I know what this is about. I'm not... I just like to be put – I like to play it objectively, but I know this question is insinuating that someone has, in fact, gone to Disneyland by himself and taken many photographs, and I've had to ignore some of them. But you know, it's fine. I mean, you know, more power to whoever wants to do that. I mean, there's advantages to it. Just kind of, you know, Junkman, would you corroborate that if someone did that, that someone you knew did that, would you consider that kind of an odd thing to do?
I mean, the only way you could justify going to Disney World by yourself is if you worked at Disney World, I think.
Mm.
It's a place to kind of, I mean, don't, we can get into hours of talk about that whole attraction on its face, but you don't, I mean, yeah, little kids like it. I don't see why a grown person would go there by himself. I don't understand that.
I think we'll stop. That's a good place to end tonight. Junkie, I hope you get a chance to sample in some of the love and the fever of Red Sox Nation the next couple of days. I mean,
dude,
whether
Dave,
tomorrow...
I got a text message from a friend asking me if I want to spend $1,200 on a bleacher ticket for tomorrow night.
Oh, it's a discount. They...
I don't want to sound like Captain right now, but are you fucking kidding me? $1,200?
For the bleachers. Wow. That
the
is...
bleachers. Dave, my rent, Dave, is $800. I'm not going to spend 1.5 times that amount for one baseball game. Are you freaking kidding me?
Watch Jake Peavy pitch, I believe.
Oh, watch
right.
Jake Peavy piss his pants and watch John watch John Farrell pretend that he knows what he's doing. No, you know what's funny, Dave? I just realized this the last second. We didn't even talk about the World Series. Entire hour.
We did a little bit in the beginning when
this
we were talking about Red Sox.
Yeah, but this most mind-bogglingly now I'm starting to get tired. Mind-bogglingly ridiculous World Series of monumental pooping in their pants. You know, the idiot who gets picked off while the best postseason hitter in the last 20 years is at the plate, gets picked off first. There's three errors a game for every game. Granted, Lester's been, you know, a pro and has been awesome. But outside of that, I mean, Ellsbury can't even, he looks like he's in the minor leagues. Outside of everyone, the Red Sox, Ortiz is the only guy who knows what he's doing at the plate. Pedroia's been terrible at the plate. Don't forget that, you know, the moron at third and the umpires. It's just been an absolute atrociously played World Series. However, of course, it's going to go seven games and everyone's going to say how great it is, but there's been so many guys just absolutely crapping in their pants that it's insane. Beltran, you know, who, like I said, was at the plate, you know, when the idiot got picked off, bunts when the pitcher is praying for an out and he bunts.
Yep.
There's been so many dumb moron plays in this World Series. It's been unbelievable.
It is. It really has been. Gosh, I guess we really missed out talking about this. But listen, however this goes, we'll recap the whole thing next week. Chucky, have a great one. It's good catching up with you, and we will continue this very odd, wild, sloppy World Series. Have a great week, my friend.
Yeah, brother.
All right, buddy. That's Kevin on the Cape. I'm Dave Medina. Thanks to all who joined us. Jerry in Piscataway, Tyler in Moore Park, John in Connecticut, Kevin on the Cape, Andy in Seattle. I'm Dave Medina. We'll see you next time.